Galatians 5, 21 through 25. We've only got a few more. I'm really going to try to get through these. Galatians 5, 21 through 25. I know this is a lot of teaching. This is really good to go back and listen to this stuff. If you have a certain area where you have an issue and you know it, listen to it. Bind up everything that disrupts you and gets in the way. Ask the Holy Spirit to let you hear new revelation. Come against feeling so superior that you're unteachable, and listen to it and listen to it and listen to it till it breaks through and you get the light bulb. Okay, Galatians, what did I say? Galatians 5:21. Okay, going up, verse 18. But if you're led by the Spirit, you are not under the law. Now the works of the flesh are clearly revealed, which are adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lustfulness, idolatry, sorcery, fightings, jealousies, angers, rivalries, divisions, heresies, envyings, murders, drunkenness, reviling, and things like these, of which I tell you beforehand, as I also said before, that the ones practicing such things will not inherit the kingdom of God. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faith, meekness, self-control. Against such there is no law. But the ones belonging to Christ crucified the flesh with its passions and lusts. And if we live in the Spirit, let us walk in the Spirit. Let us not become vain, provoking one another, envying one another. Okay, so when we get into vanities, when we think more highly of ourselves than we ought to, we begin to provoke one another and cause each other to envy. Something else that just popped out at me. When we see this thing about flesh, it says like, now these are the works of the flesh. Now you said, well, they're demonic works. Well, folks, Satan only can get in through the flesh. So they're works of the flesh, not works of the Spirit. And the area that's trying to be controlled is the mind. So Satan attacks you through the flesh. The Holy Spirit leads you through the Spirit. And your soul determines which way you're going. Did you get it? Because God just gave that to me, because I always... You know, you hear people use the word flesh like it's just a little thing you shouldn't give in to. The flesh is the area where Satan tempts you and goes after getting you to give in to him, to give in to your flesh that he has access to come in and put you in bondage. It's not a little thing. Murder is not a little thing. Jealousy is not a little thing. Covetous, none of the things on that list are little flesh things. They are all things of the flesh because Satan attacks in the flesh. And if you give in to the flesh, Satan has dominion. God leads by the Spirit. And if you're led by the Spirit, you don't give in to the flesh. So you have to say no to the flesh, no to the enemy, no to temptation. You've renewed your mind in the Word of God so you know what to say no to. And then you grow in your relationship with God. You mature in who you are in Christ. And he begins to just take over in your life. And the word there saying, but if you fall into vanity, even after he listed the fruit of the Spirit, so maybe you had the fruit of the Spirit, but then you got vain. Then you begin to try to meet your needs and the blessings that God has given you. You begin to meet your needs and that now you are getting into the promises of God. And then there's a really strong provoking thing there because now you're using how God has blessed you to cause others to look up to you because you're still on that scale. And God says, don't go there. I know that's what happened with me. You know, after I was led of the Spirit when my daughter died and I got victory over sorrow and grief and God used me in powerful ways and I was testifying and wrote a book and went to churches, had meetings, the power was falling. I begin to use what God had done in my life and the fruit he had produced to feel better about myself because I didn't know all this. And in that place, I fed haughtiness instead of staying humble, which happened after my daughter died. And instead I got puffed up and I provoked other people to be jealous of what I had or jealous of my relationship with God because I didn't understand how to get free from all this. Golly, getting free is great. Thank you, Jesus. It's not using the Lord's name in vain when you're really talking to him and you mean it. Just thought I'd let you know. Somebody's like, Because somebody's saying, man, they say, God, when I say God, I mean it. God, thank you. God, I'm so glad that's not happening. I'm calling on him. I love him. Speaking his name in vain is using it as a curse word. It's using it as they say Jesus Christ like it's nothing. Okay. We ought to call on his name every sentence we speak. Out of every breath, God, I thank you for what you're doing. Oh, God, we mean it. Oh, God, I mean it. I mean, oh, God. I know him. I like him. I'm in love with him. If I'm in my house and I'm needing help, I say, hey, John. I'm not using his. I want him to come and help me. God wants you to get where you use his name freely because of the relationship and take it back from what the enemy's done to it. I'm putting it in vain. Useless, using it for no meaning, meaning nothing as a word nobody cares about. All right, we've got only three more folks. Philippians 1:15. Some indeed even proclaim Christ because of envy and strife, but some also because of goodwill. These indeed announce Christ out of party spirit. The word party spirit is not when we get drunk in the Holy Ghost, okay? Party spirit means selfish ambition. People are declaring Christ out of selfish ambition, not sincerely. They're thinking to add affliction to his bonds, but then others out of love, knowing that I am set for defense of the gospel. He goes, what then? Yet in every way, whether in pretense or in truth, Christ is proclaimed, and I rejoice in this, yet also I will rejoice. Okay. He's talking here about some people even preach the word of God on that scale of envy, strife, just preaching it for the wrong reasons, proclaiming Christ out of selfish ambition, trying to have a ministry, trying to have something important to say, trying to get people to support their ministries. I tell you, things haven't changed a whole lot in all these thousands of years, huh? But he says, envy, folks, envy and jealousy can actually cause you to preach Christ for the wrong reason. I'm not saying they even know they're doing it. I just want to make sure I'm not one doing it. You know, Lord, let me stay in love with you and let me preach you because of who you are and that I want your heart and I want people to know you. All right, almost done, guys. 1 Timothy 6:4. Let me go up. 1 Timothy 6:2. And those having believing masters, let them not despise them because they are brothers, but rather let them serve as slaves because they are believing and beloved. Those receiving the good service in return, teach and exhort these things. If anyone teaches differently and does not consent to sound words, those of our Lord Jesus Christ and the teaching according to godliness, he has been puffed up, understanding nothing. He is sick concerning doubts and arguments, out of which comes envy, strife, evil speaking, evil suspicions, meddling of men whose minds have been corrupted, deprived of the truth, supposing gain to be godliness. Withdraw from such persons. I'm not going to get into all this tonight, but we're going to talk about who you withdraw from. You don't have to hang out with everybody. And let me say this, everybody doesn't have to be in this church. I want the fear of the Lord to come. I want a reverence for God. I want to see the true glory of God. I want to see people healed. Not so we get a bigger building. Not so we can be called and go minister at conferences. I want to see people healed because God loves them. He paid to see them healed. And if it takes getting to a revelation of the fear of the Lord and understanding God, like Ananias and Sapphira, where if you're playing around or you're a hypocrite or you're kidding around and you drop dead in the presence of God, I'm willing to see that happen, to see Jesus Christ glorified and to see people really healed. It, to me, if somebody's going to drop dead because of hypocrisy and they're not willing to deal with their junk and they want to play games, then the day's going to come when they're going to have to drop dead so that somebody can bring their baby in this place and the baby can be healed of cancer. You can't have both. You can't have the kind of presence of God, the glory of God, that's going to heal all the sick people while you have hypocrisy in a place, while you have sin in a place. God's going to give a season for everyone to get it together and go after him. And as long as you're dealing with it and trying and letting God work, he's fine with it. But when you choose to lie to the Holy Spirit, when you choose to hide things and pretend they're not happening instead because of pride, when that happens, you grieve the Spirit to a place where He cannot move the way He wants to move unless He removes you. And so God is given a season and a time for people to mature, for people to understand, for people to hear. But I'm going to tell you this, and I'll tell you this, like anything I've ever said that I knew was God, the apostolic is going to look so different than anything we've ever seen. There is going to be such a reverent fear of the Lord. There are going to be holy believers, people completely sold out to Christ, people not playing the games, people crying out. But there also come the deliverance for those who hate evil to be free quickly. For those who want torment to stop, torment's going to stop. Do you understand? The reason we're not there is because the church is so filled with pride and hypocrisy and babes and envy and jealousies and all these things that God's clearing up. This, what He's doing here on Tuesday night is to help everybody. Praise God. But what He's doing here to a core group of people that He wants to usher in a powerful move of His Spirit and His authority that's been prophesied over is to get a people on the same page so we can handle the true presence and glory of God. I haven't seen it yet. I felt His presence. I've seen His anointing. I don't personally believe we've even begun to taste of His glory, because the church is too unclean. It's not like He's just playing around and just doesn't want to reveal Himself. He can't reveal His glory without everybody dropping dead until there comes some prophetic preaching and teaching like John the Baptist saying, prepare the way. Don't play games with the things of God. You don't have to run. I don't care what your issue is. I don't care how many years you've been fighting it. I don't care how much you've tried to deal with it on your own. That's pride. God is still sending an invitation to say, look, get free. He'll set you free. He's in charge. How? Sometimes you have to go, the Bible says, you have to go before what you would consider the elders, the people who really walk with God and love God, who you can look up to, and you have to repent of your sin. That's what He says in the Bible. They don't get to pick which time they do that. You just need to really say, okay, God, what is my way of escape? What are You requiring me to do that's going to set me free from this bondage, but also set me free from my pride? Pride is independence from God. God, what have I got to do? The whole church has got to go here. I just can't imagine what this next move of God is going to look like. I hear people prophesying all the fun stuff. And I hear a few beginning to talk about the fear of the Lord. I hear a few beginning to talk about clean hands and pure hearts. But even they don't realize probably how theirs aren't. I mean, there's a taste of what's coming being prophesied today. But I think it's going to turn everything upside down. God wants a holy people, but I want a holy people, and I want to be one of them. I don't want to cause confusion. I don't want to go into deception. I want to be a holy vessel. Somebody said to me today, my whole life, all I've seen is people acting one way in their homes and another way in church or another way in public. Is that how it is? I said, it's not how it is for me. It's not how it is for Karen. It's not how it is for Donna. It's not how it is for Terry and Doug. They act the same. It took a while for everybody to get that freedom. I never see Edie act any different at her home. I practically hang out with these people more than anything. Actually, when I look around, I think most of you at this point, you are who you are here is who you are at home, because you've gotten free enough for that to be real. That's a freedom, folks. The whole world is waiting for the sons and daughters to be revealed. It's time to deal. It's time to deal with our stuff. It's time to deal with our stuff. Because I want to be a part of this. I want to be a part of what God has. I don't want to be one that has been puffed up. I don't want to be one that has envy, strife, evil speaking, suspicions, meddling of men whose minds has been corrupted, deprived of the truth. Oh, Lord, doing everything for personal gain on that scale. All right, one more. Titus 3:1. Remind them to be subject to rulers and authorities, to be obedient, to be ready in every good work, to speak evil of no one, not quarrelsome, not forbearing, having displayed all meekness to all men. For we also once were senseless, disobedient, being led astray, slaves of various lusts and pleasures, living in malice and envy, hateful, hating one another. But when the kindness and love of God our Savior towards man appeared, not by works and righteousness which we had done ourselves, but according to his mercy, he saved us through the washing of regeneration and renewal of the Holy Spirit, whom he poured out on us richly through Jesus Christ our Savior, that being justified by his grace, we should become heirs according to the hope of eternal life. Faithful is the word, and concerning these things, I desire you strongly to affirm that the ones believing God should take thought to maintain good works. These things are good and profitable to men. Keep back from foolish questionings, genealogies. Do you know there's a whole teaching going on right now, not just in the Mormon church, but in the Christian church about genealogies? Why don't people read this? We have bought into deception that prophetic people can't be deceived. We have got to hang on to the Word of God. Rick Joyner's book, one of the things that stand out, Final Quest, was in that vision, was when the people got higher and higher on that mountain that represented the presence of God and the glory of God. The higher they went, the faster they could fall, and the more slippery it got. I really have a reverent fear in my spirit right now that I've gone up another level. And I'm just, you know, I'm trying not to slide off. And I tell you what, when this happens for me, I grab onto this. I grab onto this sword. I put this sword in deep, and I don't go that fast into the things God's showing me until I understand what this word says about it. But that's not what's happening. People get a revelation, they get puffed up on that scale, and they start thinking their revelation is God, and of course they can't be deceived. And it's amazing to watch people you love and respect, people you've seen move in the true anointing, people who you know deep in their heart love God, go into such deception. And right now, I won't say who, but someone in this ministry got a phone call from someone in their family who did this whole genealogy thing where they went to some graveyard and repented for their relative's past sin. You know, when you have to repent for what Jesus paid for, you're taking the place of the cross. I repent for what I've done. I cannot repent for another. It's unbiblical to repent for someone else. Who do we think we are? Who do we think we are that we can repent for someone else's sin? And let me tell you what, Jesus Christ was bruised for our iniquity. That means the sin of our forefathers. He took it. All I got to do is recognize it. I might have to see where I gave into it or renounce it or whatever, but there's no formula of going through your genealogy. I'm telling you, this person was just in deception. To be told that until they did this and until their family did this, the whole church was at a standstill. Oh, please. I am so sorry. You are just not that important. God's going to have his end time move no matter what your grandmother did. I mean, I'm not being mean. I'm being serious. This is how ridiculous we've become. God's going to have his end time move because he's declared it, and I've read the word. And it's complete in Christ. It is finished. It is finished. It is finished. It is enough. It is more than enough. It's so simple. Thank you, Jesus. It's simple. It's getting weird out there, folks. So, Lord, just bring all of us back to a place of connecting with the headship of Christ. Get us out of this false stuff.